In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel reading according to St. John, which I've just read. Please be seated. In the season of Lent, we hear from the Lord's Word quite a bit about eating. On the first Sunday in Lent, we heard about how Adam and Eve ate something that they were not supposed to eat, something from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That same Sunday, in the Gospel lesson, Satan also tempted Jesus that he would turn stones into loaves of bread. On the second Sunday in Lent, the Canaanite woman came begging to Jesus, for she longed to be fed with the breadcrumbs that fell from the children's table. This week, we encounter a familiar story, one centered around eating. The miraculous feeding of 5,000 men, which does not include the women and children who are most certainly present in this crowd, shows that the Lord lavishes great gifts upon both the good and the evil. First, from this lesson, we see how Jesus cares for the bodily needs of his creatures. After performing miracles upon the sick, a large crowd had begun to follow Jesus. The journey that Jesus led these people into the wilderness ought to remind us of the 40-day fast of Jesus in the wilderness and the 40-year journey of the wilderness journey of the people of Israel, which we heard about in part in our Old Testament lesson for today. In the case of Israel, we heard how God miraculously fed them with manna from heaven. And here, in the Judean wilderness, God again fed his people miraculously with bread from heaven. It is an amazing thing to consider that the people that God fed in the wilderness were so egregiously against God that he forbid an entire generation of them from entering into the promised land. In fact, the only ones who left Egypt, who finally crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, were Joshua and Caleb. And yet, the Heavenly Father still fed them despite their wickedness and despite their continued rejection of his provision that he gave to them as they were on their way. In the same way, this large crowd that followed Jesus in our lesson for today, after the end of the chapter, you find that only 12 of them remain. That Jesus' preaching was so offensive to them that by the end, they left. You see, God gives daily bread to all his creatures, even those who do not love him, as an act of mercy and love towards us. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, for example, that God causes the rain to fall on the good as well as the evil. In fact, at times it seems as if the wicked prosper while the faithful suffer. But God does indeed provide daily bread to all, just as he has promised to do according to his good and gracious will. Thus, we should not determine God's love for us based on our daily bread. If our chief concern is our bodily lives, we show that our true God is really our belly. Our constant worry about what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear shows a lack of fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And for this, we all ought to repent. Consider how Christ teaches us here to look to him alone for all of our bodily needs. And how much more can he feed you than he fed those in the wilderness with just 5 loaves and 2 fish? And look at the 12 basketfuls that were left over. Is God's provision not abundant? Indeed, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." In providing for the bodily needs of all, God is working that he might lead us all to himself. In other words, by giving us daily bread, God frees us from the concerns of this mortal life in order that we might seek Him in His kingdom and in His righteousness. But God's daily bread, God's provision of daily bread, is but a shadow of the true purpose for which God actually gives us bread. We read in the Bible that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. But here Jesus reminds us of why He gives us bread in the first place. It is to reveal to us that He Himself is the true bread from heaven. He is not only the one who gives daily bread, but He is also the one who gives us that eternal bread that lasts into life everlasting. What is this bread? Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from His mouth. We live because instead of a word of condemnation, God gives us the word of absolution. The word that He speaks to us feeds our souls to life everlasting. The Jews in the wilderness ate the manna from heaven and died. But Jesus is the bread that comes down from heaven, the very bread of life. And whoever eats this bread and believes in Him will never die and have eternal life. If anyone eats this bread, Jesus says, he will live forevermore. And what is this bread that Jesus comes to give? It is His very flesh. His flesh is true food, and His blood is true drink. Whoever eats His flesh and drinks His blood has life, and Jesus will raise him up on the last day. Whoever eats His flesh and drinks His blood abides in Him, and He abides in them. The eternal bread that Jesus comes to give is the very source of life for the Christian church. So let us not look to Jesus merely for our daily bread, but let us look to Him who gives us that bread that lasts into eternity. He who gives food to the young ravens when they call comes that in Him you might have life and food that lasts into eternity. For Jesus is our very Passover lamb that was sacrificed that we might pass over from death to life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.